This program is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hello, I'm Sarah Gregory, and today I'm talking with Dr. Sarah Schutte-Shutter, a professor of infectious disease epidemiology at the University Hospital Basel in Switzerland. We'll be discussing two different surveillance measures that can be used to detect C. difficile. Welcome, Dr. Schutte-Shutter.
Hello, welcome.
Remind us, what is C. difficile?
So C. difficile is an anaerobic gram-positive rot. It can produce toxins and can cause colitis. It's actually one of the most common causes of hospital-acquired diarrhea and one of the most common causes of hospital-acquired infections overall.
You mentioned diarrhea, so is that the only symptom or are there others?
So diarrhea is the most typical symptoms, and then there can also be abdominal pain, maybe accompanied by fever and result in dehydration. Some patients may even present with more severe symptoms such as septic shock or signs of severe colitis.
Do we know how many people die of it annually?
So there are some estimates regarding deaths, especially in the United States. I don't know those figures off by heart, but it's definitely a substantial number. And unfortunately, there are very poor estimates regarding the burden of disease in Switzerland.
How do people catch this infection?
So traditionally, C. difficile has been considered a hospital-acquired infection, so a pathogen which is acquired during a hospitalization. But more recently, community acquisition has been commonly reported. And in the community, acquisition may occur by contact with infected patients or people who just may be colonized with C. difficile. And some recent evidence even points to the food chain as being a potential source.
Is it treatable?
Yeah, so C. difficile infection, fortunately, is treatable with specific antibiotics. Most guidelines currently recommending either vancomycin or fidaxomicin to be administered.
Just curious, I'm allergic personally to almost all antibiotics. Are there, and the mycines particularly, or would there be anything for me if I caught it?
So if you were allergic to vancomycin, you could, for example, be treated with fidaxomicin. That's another class of antimicrobials, so there should not be a cross-allergic reaction to this substance. And then, of course, there is also the treatment consisting of metronidazole, which, again, would be another class of drugs, probably less effective than vancomycin or fidaxomicin, but that would also be an option for someone with an allergy.
Well, that's good to know. you mentioned that C. difficile is usually found, or was traditionally usually found among hospital patients. Are these bacteria in hospitals everywhere around the world, or just geographically certain places?
Well, probably, and it's most likely that from some places in the world we just don't have enough data to really be able to answer your question. So in the early 2000s, the C. difficile outbreaks were primarily reported in the US and in Canada, then also in many European countries, including Switzerland, and some more recent data is emerging from Southeast Asia, Australia, South America, most parts of the world that C. difficile is also around in those hospitals.
So your study was about C. difficile in Switzerland in 2015. Is it a big problem there?
So we actually don't know, and this is the reason why we performed this study. The burden of C. difficile is largely unknown in Switzerland, and there have just been very few studies, single-center studies, looking into the burden of C. difficile infection in Switzerland, and those are were also performed some years ago. And as CDI burden has increased throughout Europe during the last years, we also hypothesized that that C. difficile must have increased in Switzerland too over the last years.
Should people be concerned about this infection when they go to a hospital or in contact with someone who works in a hospital?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely an infection which is concerning, especially given also that it's been increasing in most parts of the world over the last years. And on the other side, it has to be said that many hospitals have introduced infection prevention and control measures to reduce rates of C. difficile infection in hospital. And as mentioned before, quite a substantial amount of C. difficile is probably acquired in the community rather than in the hospital. So patients may be colonized with C. difficile when they enter a hospital rather than acquiring C. difficile within the hospital.
Ah, okay. That's a new twist. So your study specifically was about two different ways that countries can test for and monitor this disease. One of them was surveillance. What is surveillance and why is it important?
So surveillance is about capturing the burden of a specific disease, in this case, C. difficile. It's important to be able to compare rates within specific institutions or between institutions or even between countries and over time. And surveillance provides the actual basis to evaluate the effectiveness of targeted prevention and control measures.
So as I said, there are different ways to test for C. difficile infections. Does it really matter which test you use as long as the results are accurate?
Well, for surveillance purposes, it definitely matters because some test strategies may be more sensitive than others. So to compare rates over time or between institutions or between countries, it's important to use a similar diagnostic approach. Otherwise, the rates won't be comparable.
Okay, so your study investigated two testing methods, enzyme-linked immunoassay called EIA and PCR. Would you explain what the difference is between these two tests?
So the enzyme-linked immunoassay for detection of C. difficile detects GDH, glutamate dehydrogenase. This is an enzyme which is highly specific to C. difficile. And if GDH is detected, then a second step is required for detection of toxin-producing C. difficile. So there's a second enzyme-linked immunoassay which follows the first step, which then detects toxins A and B. And then on the other side, PCR detects the gene which is encoding for mainly the toxin B. And this was also the diagnostic approach which was evaluated in our study. So a PCR to detect the gene encoding for toxin B. So PCR as a nucleic acid amplification test is more sensitive to detect C. difficile as compared to the enzyme-linked immunoassay-based approach.
You mentioned the reason, or one of the reasons you did the study was to get some real data on the burden in Switzerland. Do you have more to tell us about that, why you did your study?
Yeah, so that was exactly the reason why it was performed. So actually a nationwide study on the burden of C. difficile has to date not been performed in Switzerland. So the only figures regarding C. difficile burden were a couple of incident studies performed at individual centers, but no nationwide data has been collected so far for Switzerland.
Well, why don't you tell us about your study then, how you went about it, and that sort of thing.
So, yeah, as mentioned, this was a nationwide prevalence study. It was performed on 2 days in 2015. And we asked all laboratories who were serving 76 Swiss hospitals to collect all liquids to ooze samples, which they received as standard of care on both of the study days. And they sent us those stool samples, and we analyzed them independently of any request by the submitting clinician for the presence of toxigenic C. difficile. Using both the diagnostic approaches we discussed previously, so either to detect C. difficile by enzyme-linked immunoassay for detection of GDH and toxins A and B, and in addition, we also performed PCR for detection of the gene encoding for toxin B. So we performed both diagnostic test strategies on all samples in parallel.
And what did you find? Was one test more accurate than the other?
So what we found was that the rates were higher when taking the results obtained by the PCR into account as compared to the results as determined by the enzyme-linked immunoassay diagnostic approach. One can't necessarily say that one test is more accurate than the other. The finding just confirms that the PCR-based approach is more sensitive as compared to the enzyme-immunoassay-based approach for detection of C. difficile. This may, however, also result in more patients being detected as carrying C. difficile who may be colonized rather than infected. But I think what the results clearly show is that it's very important to use the same algorithm, and that only then results can be compared between different institutions and country.
How would you like these findings to be used? Should they help a doctor choose which test to use, or are they more helpful for policy decisions?
So I think these findings are more helpful for policy decisions than for an individual physician or doctor. So in order to have comparable results, the study just shows that it's really important that the same testing strategies are applied. Otherwise, the findings will not be comparable.
You also looked at different types of C. difficile bacteria. What did you find there?
So what we looked into were different ribotypes of C. difficile circulating in Switzerland. So all the strains we identified during this study were analyzed by PCR ribotyping. And what we found was that we had a large diversity of different ribotypes currently circulating in Switzerland. This may point to multiple sources of C. difficile within the Swiss population rather than to just the presence of one common outbreak strain. It's also quite noteworthy that the hypervirulent PCR ribotype O27, which is actually quite common in Europe and also in the United States, was not discovered during this study in Switzerland. We did, however, find another hypervirulent PCR ribotype, ribotype O78, in Switzerland, and this ribotype has actually been again linked to some food sources.
You mentioned food. That's a new one for me. I had never heard that before. That seems very concerning. I mean, we have so many outbreaks now of salmonella in the food sources and E. coli right here in the United States. Right now we have E. coli in peaches and onions. Do you have any more information on these food sources other than that seems to be a culprit?
Well, I should note that in our study, it was not designed to be able to establish a relationship with a food source. But what is known from the literature is some data showing that, for example, this ribotype 078 is present in, for example, in pigs, also in quite a variety of other domestic animals. So, for example, in the Netherlands, it has been shown that for some populations living very near to animal farming, there may be a higher incidence of C. difficile infection, and this has been linked to these food sources.
I see. Okay. Well, in your opinion, what's the most important public health takeaway from your study?
So, I think the most important takeaway is that we really need unified diagnostic approaches to be able to compare rates of specific infections across institutions and countries, and to then ultimately be able to draw conclusions regarding the local and global epidemiology of a specific infection.
Are there ways that people can protect themselves?
Well, so the most important risk factor for C. difficile infection is exposure to antibiotics. So prudent use of antibiotics is probably the most important prevention measure for C. difficile infection.
Use of antibiotics? I'm sorry, I'm not quite clear on what you just said.
Sorry, yeah. No, so prudent use of antibiotics, I believe, is the most important prevention measure for C. difficile infection. To really only administer antibiotics when they are really needed. So, for example, to be very restrictive with antibiotics if there is not a clearly established bacterial infection. And then also to streamline antibiotics and to use antibiotics with a spectrum as narrow as possible rather than to administer broad-spectrum antibiotics.
Ah, okay. That's I understand that. Okay. So tell us about your job, where you work and what you enjoy most about it.
So I work as an infectious diseases specialist at the University Hospital Basel in Switzerland. I guess I really enjoy all aspects of this work. I have a special research interest in epidemiology and transmission of important hospital-acquired infections and also in respective prevention measures.
So Switzerland is a very beautiful country. What do you do for fun and relaxation, especially right now in these troubled COVID times?
Well, yeah, as you say, unfortunately, due to the challenging COVID situation, there hasn't been that much time for fun and relaxation recently. But yeah, I would definitely agree with you that Switzerland is a truly beautiful country, and probably also the COVID situation has led many people to explore their immediate surroundings in more detail rather than travel further abroad. So this is something I've been trying to do whenever possible.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today, Dr. Shuden-Sutter.
Well, thank you very much for your interest in this study.
And thanks for joining me out there. You can read the October 2020 article, Multicenter Prevalence Study Comparing Molecular Toxin Assays for C. difficile Surveillance, Switzerland, online at cdc.gov/EID. I'm Sarah Gregory for Emerging Infectious Diseases.
For the most accurate health information, visit cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO.